الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سلك سبيله واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. The author, he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب صلاة الخوف. باب صلاة الخوف, the chapter with regards to the prayer of fear, the prayer of fear. Al-khawf ضدُ الأمن, and fear is the opposite of safety and security. So again, this is من باب إضافة الشيء إلى سببه, from the aspect of ascribing something to its reason. So therefore, the reason for this particular prayer here, or the manner that it's established, is because of the presence of fear, the fear of an enemy, and of danger and the likes like this. So what is intended here is not a specific prayer that one will pray whenever he is in fear, but rather how to perform the obligatory prayer in congregation in times of fear, in times of fear. So one wouldn't understand from this, for example, that which has preceded Salat al-Istisqa. This is a specific prayer for the time of rain, to pray for rain. And the and likewise Salat al-Kusuf, a specific prayer for whenever there's an eclipse. And likewise Salat al-Eid, the specific prayer whenever the Eid comes. Here what is intended is not a specific prayer, not a specific prayer whenever there's fear, there's a special prayer to play, a special prayer to pray at the time of fear, but rather how to establish the obligatory prayer and congregation in the time of fear. So this is the intent here, is the clarification of how to establish the obligatory prayer and congregation in these times of fear. And this particular prayer, it was legislated, the prayer of fear in this manner was legislated in the sixth year after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam bi Usfan. And the narration has come in Al-Musnad by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala from the hadith of Abi Ayash Az-Zuraqi radiyallahu anhu. Inshallah, we will take this narration and the benefits with regards to that, and the legislation of this great prayer, and this amazing prayer, the prayer of fear, and has come in the Sunnah a number of different variations and manners to perform the Salat al-Khawf. More than one form has come, or more than one manner has come. And this is from the aspect of اختلاف التنوع. اختلاف التنوع. لا اختلاف التضاد. And there are a number of different manners that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed the prayer of fear. So this is from the aspect of the fact that this particular legislation has come in various different ways, and all of them are allowed, and all of them are from the Sunnah. These different forms and variations of this particular prayer, how to perform the prayer in this manner, is not from the aspect where there's a difference where they're contrary to each other. Rather, these are different forms, different variations, different manners to establish the prayer in times of fear. All of them are affirmed on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the best position with regards to that is all of them are allowed. And a number of narrations has come. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he mentions Sahad Salat al-Khawfi an Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala sittati awjuhin aw sab'a kulluha ja'iza kulluha ja'iza. But Imam Ahmad, he mentioned rahimahullah, it has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam six or seven different manners to perform the prayer of fear, and all of them are permissible, and all of them are permissible. But if we look into these different manners, the people of knowledge have clarified that they differ according to the circumstance and the situation, and they differ according to the severity of the fear and the distance of the enemy and the likes like this. So this is why there are different forms and different manners. And a number of narrations have come, in different forms, clarifying how to pray this prayer with regards to whenever the enemy is not in the direction of the Qibla. Whenever the enemy is not in the direction of the Qibla. A number of different manners have come like this. And one manner has come whenever the enemy is in the direction of the Qibla. Whenever the enemy is in the direction of the Qibla. So with regards to the different manners, this is with regards to the different situations and circumstances. Whenever they're praying the prayer of fear, establishing the obligatory prayer and congregation in times of fear, and the enemy is not between them and the Qibla. And the enemy is not between them and the Qibla. So whenever the enemy is between them and the Qibla, there's one manner to perform Salat al-Khawf. But whenever the enemy is in a different direction for them, not between them and the Qibla, then this is the one that there's different narrations that have come. Different narrations that have come. As we've seen, Imam Ahmed rahimahullah, he mentioned that it's authenticated 6 or 7. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned even more than that. But Al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, he mentioned 3 narrations. And all of them are with regards to different manners to perform the prayer. All of them, each one, clarifies a different manner, a different variation of how to perform Salat al-Khawf. 2 of them with regards to whenever the enemy is in the opposite direction or in another direction other than the Qibla, and 1 narration whenever the enemy is in the direction of the Qibla. So this prayer here is, in reality, it's an amazing affair. And it's legislated to be performed في كل قتال مباح. في كل قتال مباح. Every permissible and lawful battle and fighting, it's allowed to perform the prayer of fear. It's allowed to perform the prayer of fear. The people of Nara, as I mentioned, with 2 conditions. The first one is that the fighting is permissible. It wouldn't be the fighting that is impermissible. And the fighting of the misguided and the deviant individuals who raise the sword against the believers and the likes like this, and they claim to raise the banner of jihad, and they're misguided in reality, and they're following their whims and desires and the likes like this, this is not allowed here. And in other cases and circumstances similar to that. But whenever there is permissible fighting, fighting behind the Imam and the Muslim Khalifa, or behind the ruler who has authority, any rightfully and the likes like this, and he orders this affair to fight and the likes, then it's allowed in this case. And the second condition is that the fear is established at that moment, that they are afraid that at the time of the prayer, at the time to perform the prayer, that the enemy will advance upon them. That the enemy, they're afraid at that moment that the enemy will advance upon them. And they have reason to fear because of the situations and the circumstances that they see. And the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all of them, they see the enemy. And the enemy is in eyesight at the time of performing the prayer. At the time of performing the prayer. So this is the conditions with regards to this. This prayer here, Salatul Khawf, is from Salatu Ahli Al-Adhar, and the prayer of those people who have an excuse, the people who have an excuse, yani to lighten the prayer in a manner legislated. The people of Al-Adhar, yani Ahlul Adhar, yani with regards to the Salat, they are the Musafir, and we have seen the likes of that, and what's legislated for him, and how it's allowed for him while he's traveling to shorten his prayer, and the likes like this, and also the one who is sick, as well. The one who is sick is also from those who have an excuse to lighten some of the rulings with regards to the prayer. And it's allowed for him to join their prayers. Not allowed for him to shorten them, but allowed for him to join their prayers in certain circumstances and situations. And likewise from them, those people who are in fear, in this manner that we will discuss in this chapter also, it's allowed for them in this circumstance to lighten the prayer. And the prayer will be lightened in the manner that is prayed. It'll be lightened in the manner that is prayed, and likewise in the amount that is prayed as well. Yani the number of the raka'at will be shortened. Yani whenever they're traveling, whenever this occurs, the fear occurs whenever they're traveling, then it will be shortened. It will be shortened. And likewise, the description of the prayer will be changed. And there's a lot of movement going on, yani which is normally never permissible in the prayer, but in this circumstance, in this situation, yani it's allowed and it's permissible and it's legislated. And again, this is actually in reality an amazing prayer and a clarification of the completion and the perfection of the legislation of Al-Islam And that is legislation is suitable and correct in every circumstance and situation in the life of the human being. That there are laws that are prescribed and manners that one must abide by, and a legislation and limits that one, he must stay upon and check himself with regards to, even in times of battle and even in times of fear. And from that likewise to clarify the great status of the prayer in the salat, that the salat, إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا, that indeed the prayer has been prescribed and made obligatory upon the believers at specific times. So the prayer is not it's not neglected, not in any circumstance, in any situation, so long as the individual, he has his sanity. So long as the individual, he is of age and he has his sanity, the prayer will be established. Rather, even in congregation, the prayer will be established. Not only will the prayer be established, but likewise the congregational prayer will be established, even in times of fear, even when in times whenever the armies are lined up and facing each other, the prayer will not be neglected, and there's a manner to perform it, and the ease will come in this situation. Also clarifying the beauty of Al-Islam, and that Islam is a religion of mercy, and the legislation is a legislation of mercy and ease. And at any time, whenever difficulty comes and fear comes with regards to performing the obligations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he brings ease in the laws and the prescribed legislation, and he brings facilitation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah, he wants ease for you, and he does not want hardship and difficulty. وما جعلنا عليكم في الدين من حرج. And Allah, he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have not made anything in the religion difficult. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, inna deena yusrun, inna deena yusrun, that indeed the religion, it is ease and is facilitated. And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, bu'ithu bil hanifiyya as-samha, as-samha, bu'ithu bil hanifiyya as-samha, that I was sent with the pure monotheism and the pure tawheed, the pure religion, and likewise the religion of ease, and the religion that is facilitated, full of mercy. And Allah, he mentioned about his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, and we have not sent you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a mercy to mankind. And the legislation he was sent with likewise sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a legislation of mercy, the legislation of the most gracious and the most merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we see that this prayer is with regards to how to establish the obligatory prayer in times of fear. In times of fear, especially and specifically in times of battle and facing the enemy. And we see that here, the forms that we will see, that in every circumstance and situation and every different variation of this prayer, every time there's one imam. And he's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's one jama'ah. And there's never two or three or four or five different jama'ah with different imams and the likes like this. Rather, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he established one prayer in one congregation. And they all prayed either the entire prayer with him or a portion of that prayer with him equally. And also there's balance in this as well. And we will see some of the details with regards to that, insha'Allah. But the point is that, and even in this situation here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not allow them to separate into individual groups and to pray. It would have been easy, for example, to say, you, this group here, you go pray and we'll guard you, and then we'll pray and you guard us, or the likes like this, or these several groups, you go pray here and pray there and pray there, and then we'll guard you, and then we will pray, and like this. It would have been easy to do something similar like this, but he did not do that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, the legislation come and the revelation was revealed to him how to establish this this prayer in a military excursion, and with great strategy and with great perfection, in a manner that they performed the obligation, and even in a humble and in a manner of servitude, while at the same time they are protected, and at the same time they're facing their enemy, and also in the same manner they were putting fright in the hearts and fear in the hearts of their enemies whenever they seen this affair. Inshallah, the narration, we will read it with regards to that. I have a work by a great scholar and imam of our day, and it is As-Sahih Al-Musnad. من أسباب النزول. This is the name of the book. الصحيح المسند من أسباب النزول. The authentic chain, the authentic chains of the narrations with regards to the reasons of the revelation. We know that there are certain verses in the book of Allah that were revealed with regards to certain reasons and circumstances that occurred. The certain circumstances that occurred in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, radiyallahu anhum. From that, the issue of the prayer of fear, the prayer of fear. Allah, He mentioned, وَإِذَا دَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِذَا دَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَكْسُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ إِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَن يَفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ كَانُوا لَكُمْ عَدُوًّا مُبِينًا. That if you are traveling in the earth and you are afraid, if you are traveling in the earth, then it's no blame on you to shorten your prayer if you are afraid that the disbelievers will try you and test you and try to attack you. And indeed, the enemies, the disbelievers, they are a clear enemy to you. And then after this, the clarification of the manner of praying the prayer of fear. Allah, He mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. So there's a reason for this revelation, and they were in battle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. It's mentioned and clarified that this particular narration with regards to this is authentic, and the Imam and the author of this work, he has authenticated that. And this is the purpose of this book, to mention the narrations that clarify the reasons for the revelation of particular verses, and to verify their authenticity. Who knows the author of this book? MashaAllah. Sheikh Muqbil bin Hadi Al-Wadi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. And it's a very, very beneficial book, especially whenever you want to review the likes of these affairs. And for example, in the Fihris, you can start, and he begins from the first of the Quran to the end of the Quran, verse by verse by verse. That's mentioned that there's a reason for the revelation of that, and he mentions along with that the narrations, and then he verifies them and verifies their authenticity. So he mentioned rahimahullah in here with regards to wa idha kunta fihim fa aqamta lahum as-salat, the verse in Surah An-Nisa with regards to the prayer of fear. Shaykh Muqbil, he mentioned rahimahullah, qala al-imam Ahmad rahimahullah hadathana Abdul Razzaq qala hadathana Thawri an Mansur an Mujahid an Abi Ayash az-Zuraqi قال كنا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعسفان فاستقبلنا المشركون عليهم خالد بن الوليد عليهم خالد ابن الوليد وهم بيننا وبين القبلة فصلى بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الظهر. So he mentioned rahimahullah the narration by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and he mentioned with his chain to Abi Ayash Zuraqi رضي الله عنه. He said that we were with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Usfan. Usfan is a place between about halfway between Mecca and Medina. He said we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Usfan, and we faced the mushrikeen, and we were facing them in an army. And the one who is in charge of them and commander over them is Khalid ibn al-Walid. Khalid ibn al-Walid. We know him? Radiyallahu. And at this time he was the leader of the enemy army that they're facing. And this is also a lesson to learn, that a person, he should never, ever despair from the mercy of Allah. No matter how far one transgressed the limits, even to the extent that maybe the likes of this could be the leader and the commander of the army of the disbelievers against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fighting him and killing the companions by his command and with his effort and at his hand and his sword, radiyallahu anhu. And then Allah Azza wa Jal blessed him and honored him and favored him and guided him to repentance, to sincere tawbah, and he repented and became from the best of the believers. And not only that, rather he changed and became from the leader of the army of the Muslims, and the commander of the believers and their armed forces. One time he was the leader for the disbelievers, and then whenever he accepted Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam chose him likewise to be the leader and the commander of a number of the armies, and he's well known for this affair, radiyallahu anhu. At this time, Abu Ayyash is saying, radiyallahu anhu, we're facing We're facing the enemies. We're facing the pagans, the polytheists, the Quraysh, and the leader and their commanders, Khalid ibn Walid. He said, and between us and between them is the Qibla, meaning so they're facing the Qibla. They're facing the enemy and facing the Qibla at the same time in this particular narration. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed dhuhr with us. And he led us in dhuhr, meaning in the normal manner. فَقَالُوا قَدْ كَانُوا عَلَى حَالٍ أَوْ لَوْ أَصَابَنَا غِرَّتُهُمْ ثُمَّ قَالُوا تَأْتِي عَلَيْهِمَ الْآنَ صَلَاةٌ هِيَ حَبُّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَبْنَائِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. So at this time, after they prayed, the mushrikun, they saw them and they said, oh, if we had only taken advantage of that moment, and if we would only cut them while they're praying, while they're unaware, if we had only taken advantage of them, we could have wiped them out all at once in this manner like this. And then they said to each other, and this is also a very beneficial and important part, and this is what they know about them. This is what the disbelievers, they know about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions radiallahu anhum. They said, don't worry, that prayer right there, he said there's coming another prayer. Another prayer is going to come to them, and they're going to perform it, and it's more beloved to them than their children and their own souls. Another prayer is coming. They feel like they lost the opportunity. They're praying the dhuhr, and the mushrikun did not take advantage of that while they're praying. And they're having regret. If we only had taken advantage of that while they're praying, and they put their weapons down, and they're not paying attention, and their guard is down, we should have taken advantage of that and wiped them out all at once. And then they said to each other, don't worry, another prayer is coming likewise. Another opportunity is coming, and the prayer that's coming is more beloved to them than their children and their own souls. So this was the case with the companions. The prayer and with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's companions, that the prayer is more beloved to them than their children and their own souls. And the disbelievers, they knew that. قَالَ فَنَزَلَ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ بِهَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ بَيْنَ الظُّهْرِ وَالْعَصْرِ. So Abu Ayyash, he mentioned radiallahu anhu, that Jibreel, he descended. That Jibril, he descended alayhi salam with these verses here between Dhuhr and Asr. وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَامْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ الْآيَاتِ. And it's at the end of the verse. And if you're amongst them and you establish the prayer, and فَلْتَكُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ. And then a group of them should stand with you and pray with you, and they should take their weapons until the end of the verse. قَالَ فَحَضَرَتْ فَأَمْرَهُمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَأَخُذُوا السِّلَاحِ قَالَ فَصَفَفْنَا خَلْفَهُ الصَّفَّيْنِ قَالَ ثُمَّ رَكَعَ فَرَكَعْنَا جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ رَفَعَ فَرَفَعْنَا جَمِيعًا الْحَدِيثِ. So it's mentioned here. So after that, the prayer, the time for the prayer came, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered us to take our weapons, and then he put us into two rows, and one was behind the other. And then he put us behind him in two rows and two ranks. And then he made the ruku', and we all made the ruku', meaning he prayed and we all prayed. He made the ruku', we all made the ruku', and then he raised from the ruku', and we all raised together until the end of the hadith. Until the end of the hadith. So this was the circumstance, yani, of the revelation of this particular narration. And there is many benefits that he mentioned with regards to this, but we just read this narration and we have awareness of this affair, that this was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how to perform it in this manner, in these different ways, in these different circumstances, and also in preservation of the congregation, and also in honor and respect and veneration of the obligatory prayer and the time for that, and the time for that, and that this legislation is a revelation from the Most Wise and the All-Knowing, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And that this prayer was more beloved to the companions, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, radiallahu anhum, even more beloved to them than their children and their own souls. This is something that they had devoted themselves to. So we learn lessons from that with regards to the prayer specifically, and the times of the prayer, and likewise the congregational prayer, and honoring this affair, and striving to establish it in the best manner. So the author, he says, and Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhuma, the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar ابن الخطاب رضي الله عنهما أنه قال صلى بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة الخوف في بعض أيامه. The messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he prayed with us the prayer of fear in some of his days. في بعض أيامه أي في بعض غزواته. في بعض غزواته, in some of his battles. The Arabs, they call the war sometimes اليوم, يوم الحنين, ويوم الخندق, even if it's more than one day. Then this is a terminology that they refer to. يسمون الحروب أياما, أياما أو يوما, like this. They call it the war a day. صلى بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة الخوف في بعض أيامه, يعني في بعض غزواته صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقام طائفة معه وطائفة بإزاء العدو, فصلى بالذين معه ركعة ثم ذهبوا, وجاء الآخرون فصلى بهم ركعة وقضت الطائفتان ركعة ركعة وقضت الطائفتان ركعة ركعة. So he mentioned رضي الله عنه that one group stood and prayed along with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, while another is standing facing the in parallel and facing the enemy and facing the enemy, meaning يعني في الحراسة, and guarding those who are in prayer facing the enemy. And then he prayed with them, the first row, one rak'ah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they went, yani, to the position of guarding, while they're still in their prayer. وَهُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ. And they're still in prayer. And then the other group came, who were guarding before, and they prayed the next rak'ah with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then each group, they made up the one rak'ah, yani, alone individually. So this is one of the forms on how to pray salat al-khawf whenever the enemy is not in the direction of the qibla. Whenever the enemy is not in the direction of the qibla. In the manner here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made the army in two rows, two ranks, and the first rank will stand before, he will face the qibla sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the first rank is behind him. And another rank is facing the enemy, standing in guard, facing the enemy with their weapons, facing the enemy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he'll pray one rak'ah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the way until he makes sujood and stands back up. When he stands back up for the second rak'ah, the first row goes to stand guard. While they're still in prayer, they never left the salah. In this particular manner here, and this particular variation of this prayer. And the other group who were guarding before, they came and then they entered the prayer while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he finished the next rak'ah. Then now he's standing waiting for them. And then he prayed that rak'ah. And then whenever he's in tashahud, he made salam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then that group, they finished their prayer and then went over there, and then that group, they finished their prayer in this manner, like this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed one rak'ah with each party, with each row, and each row made up one rak'ah. Each row made up one rak'ah. And each party, they prayed on the first row behind the imam, and it is only one row. So there's perfect balance here. And there's no favoritism for either party. There's no oppression here. One of them has to stand in guard more and face danger more, while the others are in worship and the others are relaxing in their prayer and more. And the likes like this, no, they're equal. They stand in prayer this amount, and then they stand on guard this amount equally. And they both have the same amount behind the imam and the same amount on the front line, standing guard. We understand how to pray this one. This is the case here with this form mentioned here. After this, the author, he says, عن يزيد بن رومان عن صالح بن خوات بن جبير رحمه الله عمن صلى مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة ذات الرقاع صلاة الخوف. So the author, he mentioned the narration of يزيد بن رومان رحمه الله. He's from the Tabi'in. He died in year 130. He narrated on Ibn Zubayr and on Anas ibn Malik and other than them, radiyallahu anhum. And he narrates here on Sari ibn Khawat ibn Jubayr. Sari ibn Khawat, likewise, he's from the Tabi'in. And his father, Khawat ibn Jubayr, he's from the companions, radiyallahu anhum. Here he's narrating Sari ibn Khawat, rahimahullah. He's narrating on some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't mention their names. He's narrating on one of the companions who prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, salat that al-riqa', salat al-khawf, yani salat fi ghazwati that al-riqa'. There was a battle that was known as that al-riqa', and in this particular battle they prayed the prayer of fear, and it's mentioned that it was called that al-riqa' because many of the companions, they were barefooted. And they were barefooted, and because of their circumstances, situation, and the ground is hard and the ground is hot, until their feet became worn out and their feet were wounded and in pain and the likes like this. So they were taking cloths and the likes like that and wrapping their feet, so much so that the battle became known for that. And it was named after that because of the hardship and difficulty that they're going through, and that they had to wrap their feet with these cloths, like they're patching up, like a type of patching. This is what riqa' means, to make patches and the likes like this. So they're going through this hardship in this manner until it was called by this name. It's been mentioned other reasons likewise, and Allah knows best. In any case, this particular companion, he prayed, radiallahu anhu, he prayed this prayer and he's describing it. He says, أَنَّ طَائِفَةً صُفَّتْ مَعُهُ وَطَائِفَةً وِجَاءَ الْعَدُوُ. That one group stood in the rank with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one group is facing the enemy. And again, this is another form whenever the enemy is not in the direction of the Qibla. Whenever the enemy is not in the direction of the Qibla. So now one row will stand and face the Qibla with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one row will face the enemy. Will face the enemy again. وَطَائِفَةً وِجَاهَ الْعَدُوُ. يعني in their direction facing them. فَصَلَّ بِالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ رَكْعَ ثُمَّ ثَبَتَ قَائِمًا. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed with them, who are those behind him, one rak'ah. And then he stood there in the prayer. وَأَتَمُّ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ. And then those behind him, they finished the next rak'ah by themselves, while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still standing. You understand? This is a different form. So now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again, there is one row who's facing the enemy. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's facing the Qibla. And there's one row behind him facing the Qibla. He prayed one rak'ah with that row. And then whenever he made the sujood, he stood up for the second rak'ah. He remained standing there again sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this time that row behind him finished the next rak'ah by themselves. Finished the next rak'ah right then by themselves. By themselves. ثُمَّنْ صَرَفُوا فَصَفُوا وِجَاءَ الْعَدُوُ وَجَاءَتَ الطَّائِفَةَ الأخرى فصلى بهم الركعة التي بقيت ثم ثبت جالسا وأتموا لأنفسهم ثم سلم بهم ثم سلم بهم. So after the ones behind him, they finished their prayer, they left and they went into the rank to face the enemies. And then the one who did not pray, the other rank who was before guarding, now they come and they get in the rank with the Prophet while he's still standing waiting sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he prayed the rak'ah with them. He prayed the next rak'ah with them. And then whenever he's in tashahud, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he remains sitting while they finish one rak'ah. He remains sitting waiting for them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while they finish one rak'ah. And then whenever they came down, then he made salam together. So again, there is perfect justice here between the parties, those who are guarding and those who are praying. They prayed all of the whole prayer with the Prophet, but one of them with the Prophet and one of them alone. But while the Prophet is in the prayer the whole time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first party, they caught the takbiratul ihram with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the last party, they caught the salam. They caught the salam with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the case here. So again, there's perfect yani ta'adul. It's very balanced and very equal. And there is no oppression or injustice, even in the establishment of this prayer in this manner. And this is also an indication that it is a revelation revealed, that the manner that this prayer is performed, it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We understand the second manner, the difference between the first two, the first one and the second one. In the first rak'ah, they had the makeup of prayer on their own. They each party made up one rak'ah. They made up one rak'ah on their own. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam led each party in one rak'ah, and each party made up one rak'ah on their own. In the first form, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led both parties in one rak'ah. And they both made up by themselves without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one rak'ah. You understand that? In the second form, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's with them the whole time. He led the first group in the first rak'ah. And then they stood up and they finished their prayer behind him. And then the second group came, and then he led the second group in the last rak'ah. And then they stood up and finished one behind him, and then he made salam. So the first one caught the takbir, the beginning of the prayer, and the virtue of that with the Prophet, and the last one caught the salam with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You understand that? So they didn't make up anything here. The Prophet is in the prayer with them the whole time. The Prophet is in the prayer with them the whole, for their whole prayer. Both parties pray their whole prayer behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the first one, the Prophet only prayed sallallahu alaihi wasallam one rak'ah with them. One rak'ah with each of them, and then he made salam. And then they went and made up their rak'ah, and they went and made up their rak'ah on their own. The second one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prayed one rak'ah with them, and he waited for them to finish their prayer while he's still in prayer with them. And then the other ones came, and they prayed one rak'ah with him, and he waited for them to finish their prayer, and then he made salam with them, like this. You understand? You understand? The enemies, whenever they seen this, they're amazed, and it put fear in their hearts. The manner how the prayer was performed like this. Imagine it's an army. They're an army. They're an army facing the enemy with weapons. And then a portion of the army breaks off and faces the Qibla. And they line up in ranks. They line up in a row. And then they pray and they bow and they make sujood. And the lights like this. And the other one are standing there guarding. And then they're not left alone. Likewise, rather they're going to, after they finish, they go over there. And then you go pray now. you go pray now. The enemy is witnessing this. They're witnessing these affairs. This put fear in there. And the Kalbihim, they were frightened from this affair. And this is from the beauty of al-Islam. The author, he says, الَّذِي صَلَّى مَعَ نَبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ هُوَ سَهْلِ ibn Abi Hathma. The one who is mentioned here, the companion, his name, the author, he says, his name is Sahad ibn Abi Hathma. Radiallahu anhu. Allah knows best. This is the position of the author. And a number of the scholars, many of them mentioned that rather it was Khawat ibn Jubair, radiallahu anhu, the one who actually prayed this prayer. In any case, it doesn't harm the narration, because it's not an obligation to identify the companion. So long as it's known that the narrator who is narrating is reliable from the Tabi'een, and he mentioned that he narrated on the companion, whether he remembered his name or did not remember his name, then this does not harm the chain. Because so long as it's established that he's a companion, then the companions, all of them, are upright and reliable and trustworthy. Rather, you don't even say about a companion, thiqah, or the likes like this. This word thiqah, he's thiqah, like from the terminologies in Jarh wa Ta'dil. They have thiqah, they have hujjah, they have hakim, they have these different terms, thiqah, athbat an-nas, thabtun, hafidhun. These praiseworthy terms for the narrators, this is with regards to those after the companions, radiallahu anhum. All those terms right there, hujjatun, hafidhun, thiqatun, thabtun, athbat an-nas, doesn't even reach a portion of the term sahabi. The one that has the title sahabi. And this one right here, if it's established he's a companion, then you do not look into is his memorization or is he reliable. All of the companions are reliable. This memorization, reliability, trustworthiness, all the likes are like this. This is with regards to the tabi'een, atba' tabi'een, and those after them. As for if it's established he's a companion, that's it. All as-sahaba kulluhum udul. So thiqah or hafidh, this does not apply to the companions. Rather, companion is way greater than that. Way greater than that. And the one, the least of the companions, the least one who had the least time with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's greater than all of them. And he's greater than all of them. And he, because of the virtue of believing in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he's alive and seeing him, meeting him, and he being in his company, meeting him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and believing in him. This is something that this is a virtue that outweighs the virtue of those who come later. outweighs the virtue of those who come later. But no doubt the companions, radiallahu anhum, they're different levels. Some of them are more virtuous than others. But the point is here, yani if it's mentioned that a narrator from the tabi'een who's reliable, he said that one of the companions told me this. He didn't mention his name. This does not harm the chain. So long as he's reliable and he mentioned that he heard it from a companion and it's known that he's from those who learn from the companions, then this is established here. And this is good, and the companions, all of them, are upright and have the highest rank and highest status. Radiallahu anhum jami'an. Radiallahu anhum jami'an. Al-Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he chose this particular form, and he preferred this particular form here, praying the Salat al-Khawf, yani meaning whenever the enemy is not in the direction of the Qibla. Yani because this one is closest to the form mentioned in the prayer, mentioned in the Quran. The manner that is mentioned in the Quran, this particular form here is closest to that. Yani, and likewise, this one has less movement and the likes during the prayer. In the previous one, they're in prayer and they leave their rank and go stand and face the enemy while they're still in prayer. And the other one, they come and pray. And the likes like this. So there's movement in the prayer. And all of these forms, there's movement, extra movement going on, and affairs going on. But in the previous one, yani they move and turned away from the Qibla. You understand that? Those who prayed the first row, they prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they went while they're in prayer to face the enemy. At this time, they even turned away from the Qibla. They moved out of their rank. They turned away from the Qibla. The other group who was guarding, now they come and pray like this, and then both parties, they make up their prayers. And there's a lot of movement there. But it's all legislated and allowed. It's all legislated and allowed. But by looking at this one, and the hadith of Sahar ibn Abi Hathma, here that the author, he mentioned, then this one is closest to that which is mentioned in the Quran. And likewise, it has least movement. After this, the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, and Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, radiallahu anhumah. أنه قال شهدت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الخوف. So the author now, he mentions the narration of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari رضي الله عنهما that he attended. شهدت يعني حضرت. He said, I attended along with the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم the prayer of fear. فصففنا صفين خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والعدو بيننا وبين القبلة. And we stood in two ranks behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the enemy is between us and between the Qibla. So here, this form here is whenever the enemy is in the direction of the Qibla. There's one form mentioned, yani for this particular circumstance. وَكَبَّرَ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم وَكَبَّرْنَا جَمِيعًا ثم ركع فركعنا جميعا ثم رفع رأسه من الركوع ورفعنا جميعا ثم انحدر بالسجود والصف الذي يليه والصف الذي يليه وقام الصف المؤخر في نحر الأدو. So he mentioned radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said Allahu Akbar, and he entered into the prayer, may takbirat al-ihram. And then no doubt he read after that, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he made, and they all made takbir likewise, all of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made takbirat al-ihram, and they all made takbirat al-ihram along with him. And then he recited, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he made ruku', and they all made ruku' with him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he raised from the ruku', and all of them raised from the ruku' along with him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he went for sujood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the row behind him also went for sujood. But the second row, they stood there. Fir hirasa. They stood there on guard. They stood there on guard. فَلَمَّا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ السُّجُودِ وَقَامَ الصَّفُ الَّذِي يَلِيهِ أَنْحَضَرَ الصَّفُ الْمُؤَخَرُ بِالسُّجُودِ. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he finished the sujood, and the rank behind him finished the sujood, they stood up. And then the row behind them made sujood. Made sujood. Huh? Everybody, we see it? Yeah. Alhamdulillah. وَقَامُوا ثُمَّ تَقَدَّمَ الصَّفُ الْمُؤَخَّرُ وَتَأَخَّرَ الصَّفُ الْمُقَدَّمُ. And then after that, they stood up. The second row stood up. And then the first row backed up. And they walked backwards. And the second row walked forward. They go between each other. And they trade ranks. So now the second row is the first row, and the first row is the second row. Huh? And then they do the same thing, like before. Huh? And then he says, radiyallahu anhu, وَتَأَخَّرَ الصَّفُ الْمُقَدَّمُ ثُمَّ رَكَعَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَرَكَعْنَا جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ الرَّكُوعِ فَرَفَعْنَا جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ انْحَدَرَ بِالسُّجُودِ وَالصَّفُ الَّذِي يَلِيهِ الَّذِي كَانَ مُؤَخَّرًا فِي الرَّكَعَةِ الْأُولَى فَقَامَ الصَّفُ الْمُؤَخَّرُ فِي النَّحْرِ عَلَى الْأَدُوِّ فلما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم السجود والصف الذي يليه انحدر الصف المؤخر بالسجود فسجدوا ثم سلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وسلمنا جميعا. So now they're on the second rak'ah, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he recited, and they're all together, and he made the ruku', and they're all together, and he raised from the ruku', صلى الله عليه وسلم, they're all together. They're all together. Then he made sujood, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the row behind him, which was the second row before, made sujood with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the second row behind them, which was the first row before, now is standing in guard while they're in sujood. So whenever they finish their sujood and they sit there and they're waiting, the second row made sujood. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made salam with all of them together. So the only time whenever there is hirasa or the guard in this particular prayer is whenever they're in sujood. Because whenever they're standing, whenever they're in ruku', and whenever they're sitting and the likes like this, they're able to see the enemy. And they're able to identify their movements and the likes like this. So the hirasa and the guarding and the likes like this, being on guard, is only needed in the time of sujood. And likewise, we see that in either guarding them, so that they can make sujood properly, and that they can perform the obligation of sujood in a manner with humbleness and humility, and they can prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ease and in peace with tumanina, and they have their brothers guarding them behind them in this manner like this, and in preservation of this particular pillar specifically, and likewise in preservation of the army and protection and guard of the Muslim lives and the Muslim soul, and likewise a great stratagem of war. And especially in those days, whenever the ranks, they would face one-on-one in this manner. And the enemy is witnessing any of the believers in this manner, and bowing and prostrating and protecting and guarding one another in order to establish this prayer in this manner, even in this very difficult and harsh situation and facing the enemies. So this is again a clarification of the beauty of Al-Islam and the perfection of the legislation, and likewise how it's balanced precisely. How it's bound, they all prayed the whole prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and each row, each rank got their fair portion of the first row, and each rank got their fair portion of sujood with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each rank got their fair portion, likewise, of standing guard and facing the enemy in bravery and the likes like this, all at the same time. It's precisely perfect. There's no oppression, not one rank, and he had more guarding in none of these forms, or more portion of the prayer in none of these forms. Rather, every manner that is performed is very precise, and it's very wise and very balanced for the situation that they're in. And all of those who pray behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they shared in the amount they stood behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in prayer, and the amount they stood facing the enemy and guard. So this is in reality an amazing affair of how this particular prayer is legislated. In preservation of the salah in its time, and preservation of the congregation, likewise for the men to perform it, yani behind one imam. So the author, he says, "Qala Jabir kama yasna'u harasukum ha'ula'i bi umra'ikum." And Jabir, he mentioned that the way that they prayed in that prayer, radiyallahu anhum, is the way that your leaders, your guards are guarding your leaders. Meaning, in the time of some of the leaders and the rulers in the time of Jabir, they had individuals who would stand guard over the rulers and protecting them. And he afraid that people would try to execute them or to assassinate them and the likes like this. وَذَكَرَ مُسْلِمٌ بِتَمَامِهِ And Muslim, he mentioned, ذَكَرَهُ مُسْلِمٌ بِتَمَامِهِ A Muslim, he mentioned this narration in a longer form. وَذَكَرَ بُخَارِي طَرَفًا مِنْهُ And Bukhari, he mentioned a portion of this. وَأَنَّهُ صَلَّى صَلَاةِ الْخَوْفِ مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْغَزْوَةِ السَّابِعَةِ غَزْوَةِ ذَاتِ الرِّقَاعِ And in Bukhari, he mentioned a portion of this narration, and that he prayed the prayer of fear with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the seventh battle. Actually, what is in Bukhari is fi Ghazwat al-Sabiyah, without the Aleph and Lam. Fi Ghazwat al-Sabiyah, meaning a Sanat al-Sabiyah, in the battle of the seventh year. And this was the position of al-Bukhari rahimahullah, that the battle of that Ar-Riqa was in the seventh year after the Hijrah, after Khaybar. After Khaybar. This is contrary to what the majority of the scholars of Sirah mentioned, but this is the position of Bukhari rahimahullah, and it's a strong position any for those who ponder over this affair. So this is the issue here. This is the issue here. Shaykh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah, in his explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam, yani he mentioned some beneficial questions. He says, هل يمكن في هذا الزمان تطبيق صلاة الخوف إذا كان العدو في مكان بارز? Says, is it possible in these days to apply the prayer of fear if the enemy is out is somewhere seen in a known place? And would we practice this today? And if we see the enemy on the other side of the valley, for example, would we establish one row and then one row will stand and face the enemy? This is what he's saying. And these days, will we apply the Salat al-Khawf in this manner? In this manner. He says, La. لأنهم لو اجتمعوا استغل العدو اجتماعهم فضربهم بالصواريخ والمدافع وقتلهم جميعا. Because if they were to establish this prayer now and all of them were to line up together, the believers, then the enemies, they'll take advantage of that and just send rockets and missiles and bombs and cannons and the likes like this and wipe them all out at once. And this is in reality defeating the whole purpose of the reason from the prayer of fear, and to have protection from the enemy, not to put oneself in harm's way. So therefore it will not be applied in these days, and Allah knows best. He asks another question which comes, Ani, right now. He says, فَمَا هُوَ الْوَضْعُ الْمُنَاسِبُ لِلْحَرْبِ فِي هَذَا الزَّمَانِ? So then what is the proper way to pray the obligatory prayer in this time? In this time, yani, if we don't pray the prayer of fear, yani, in war, then what is the proper way to pray in times of war? So he says, الْوَضْعُ الْمُنَاسِبُ لِلْحَرْبِ فِي هَذَا الزَّمَانِ, the manner of praying the obligatory prayer in war in these days, أَن كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ يُصَلِّي عَلَى حِدَةٍ فِي مَخْبَئِهِ أَوْ عَلَى مُصَفَّحَتِهِ أَوْ دَبَابَتِهِ وَالْمُهِمُّ أَن كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ يُصَلِّي بِحَسَبِ وَضْعِهِ الَّذِي وُضِعَ الَّذِي وُضِعَ فِيهِ مِنْ قِبَلِ الْقِيَادَةِ. He said that everyone, he will pray in the position that he's at, wherever he's at, in his hiding spot, or on his artillery, or wherever he's at, each one will pray individually, wherever they're at. And if it's in times of war, whenever the war is in, they're facing the enemy. They're facing the enemy. They see the enemy. They know the enemy is there, and they have to pray. Everyone will pray where he's at, in his hiding spot, or in his place of cover, or inside of his artillery, or inside of his tank, or wherever he may be. What is important, he says, rahimahullah, that everyone will pray according to the manner that he's been placed in, and that he's directed to by the leadership and the command, yani, of the army. So the army, they'll have these affairs clarified for them, what they should do and how they should do it. So they will follow the teachings or the direction that is given to them by the army in this manner. But what's important is each one, he prays the prayer in the proper time, and the proper time and the likes like this. Likewise, we see that each one of these different manners, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the time of prayer, he clarified for them. The manner to perform these prayers did not just happen suddenly like this. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is revealed to him, and he taught his companions, and he informed them before the prayer, and he taught them, and the prayer, we're going to pray in this manner, you're going to do this. This row is going to do that, and that row is going to do this. These are going to stand guard, and these are going to come here. You're going to pray with me this many, and you're going to pray with me that many. And they followed the rules in this manner like this. And it wouldn't be thought that he just started praying and then they started moving. No. This is all proceeding from teaching and education. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified for them these particular prayers. And even it's been mentioned, and here this one is in that raka'ah, and the other one previously was in that raka'ah, meaning that they prayed the prayer of fear in one battle in more than one manner, different times. One time they're facing the enemy, and the enemy is in the direction of the qibla. Another time the enemy is not in the direction of the qibla, and the likes like this. So it changes according to the circumstance and situation, according to the danger, according to the amount of fear and the reality and the severity of that affair, how far the enemy is, how close they are, and the likes like this. And this is again a clarification of the perfection of this legislation, and that it's revealed from the Most High Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the last chapter in the book of Salat, and we have finished that book by the grace and the help and aid of Allah. We begin tomorrow, inshallah, Kitab al-Janaiz, the book of funerals. The book of funerals. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.